offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that, I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz, and let's see how many people are out there listening. How many do you think?
I'll guess zero.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm here with Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan. Drew,
hey, hello. Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. How's your holidays going?
Pretty good.
You got plans for New Year's?
I don't know yet.
What? How could you not know yet? It's coming, like, 2 days, man. 3 days.
Well, you know, I like to wait till the last
keep your options open?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
I might get invited to a better party.
Well, I hope the person's party who you said you're going to go to isn't listening.
Right? Not a chance.
Not a chance. Let me just say that Russ, the nicknameless Russ Miller, couldn't be here tonight. Neither could Dork Almighty Matt Minar or Dr. J the Science Gay. He is still driving back from somewhere. And he's just couldn't make it in time. I, however, made sure that I left my mom's house by noon today so I would be here in time to do the show. So,
did you have some lunch before you left?
Did I have lunch before I left?
Yeah.
I had a corned beef sandwich on rye bread before I left.
That sounds delicious.
It was delicious.
Did you have some potato chips with that?
No.
Oh, that would have really topped it off.
You know, nothing goes better with a corned beef sandwich than some just plain, thin-cut potato chips. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Maybe a dill slice.
A dill spear, maybe?
Yeah.
I enjoy what's called a half-sour pickle.
I'm not familiar with the half-sour pickle.
Ah, the half-sour pickle. The half-sour pickle is, let's see, how can I express this? It's a smaller kind of a pickle. It's not like one of these massive dills you might find in the corner store, or even like the larger dill pickles that like you might find in a Vlasic or Claussen pickle jar. They're more like the smaller pickling cucumbers.
But bigger than a gherkin.
Oh, indeed. Bigger than a gherkin, my friend. And let me just say that they're not pickled as long. They're pickled in a very heavily seasoned brine, like very garlicky brine, but they're pickled about half as long, so they're still...
So they're not as sour.
Well, they're half sour.
Uh-oh.
And they're bright green. They still look like little cucumbers, actually. Not that those don't, but I mean, they're still a nice bright green, and they just have a fabulous flavor. And if you ever want to try them, they'll give you a big bowl of them for free when you sit down for lunch at Corky and Lenny's.
Ah, I guess I have tried them.
Yes. And I think they're delicious. I like to go to your local Mega Mart, and you can look in... You won't necessarily find them over by the rest of the pickles sometimes, but they're called Batompte. It's an excellent brand of half-sour pickles. They're perfect. Batompte, but make sure the jar, the pickles are bright green and the brine is clear.
Is it a problem? Is cloudy brine a big problem in the half-sour pickle industry?
I don't think the cloudy brine is that big of a deal, but every time I see cloudy brine, I also see those sort of pallid, olive green-looking pickles, and that's not what you want. You want bright green, crisp pickles.
I'll be looking for
them. Good! I'll have a jar of them maybe for a show, and we'll all crunch on pickles. Won't that be fun?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Maybe what we should practice that Batompte Pickles have sponsored the show.
Do it.
You know, before I even say that, I feel like a fool now because my good buddy Mark, who's helping me try to develop, you know, some of these spots, these fake spots.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting to, like, print out. He wrote up a little script for me, like how to work them in, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really good, actually. And Mark, if you're listening, I just want you to know that those were excellent. And I really had every intention of using them tonight, except now I realize I forgot to print them out. And if I want to go print them out, I'm going to have to launch Outlook. And if I launch Outlook, that'll probably interrupt the recording software. And if I interrupt the recording software, then the recording of our show will be all garbly, at least momentarily.
Then maybe you should just wing it.
Maybe I should just wing it.
For this week.
So, no, I did not have a pickle, but I'm glad you mentioned that, Drew, because tonight's show is brought to you by the good folks over at Batompte Pickles. Only the finest half-sour pickles you'll ever find, you'll ever eat, and look for them in your refrigerated dairy case at your local supermarket. You probably won't find them with the rest of the pickles, but they'll be in the refrigerated case, so look for them in the tall, narrow jar. And look for the clear brine and the bright green pickle because you want them nice and fresh and crispy. You don't want that occluded brine and those flaccid pickles. Those are no good.
My goodness, no.
No, but the half-sour pickle brings a different sort of flavor than I'm sure a lot of you are used to. And it retains much more of the cucumber flavor. So we just want to thank everyone over at Batompte for sponsoring this show. And just remember, Batompte makes great pickles. So, anyway, how was that?
That was fabulous.
All right.
I'm trying to look for half-sour pickles on the web for the show notes.
Oh.
Which will be available at dialadork.com/blog.
That is right. Dialadork.com, dial-a-dork.com/blog, which for those of you who don't know is B-L-O-G.
And dialadork is hyphenated.
Yes, hyphenated. dial-a-dork.com. So what do you want to talk about today?
Oh, well, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I was just kind of going through the last few days of Slashdot, you know, looking at things. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world of technology. Coming to the end of the year, a lot of people talking, you know, doing like year-in-review type things. A lot of people making predictions about 06. You know, I'll tell you one thing that I noticed this year. This holiday season brought with it really reduced prices on flat screen televisions. Did you notice this?
No.
like 32-inch LCD TVs were going for like $700.
I did notice $800. That Amazon was really trying to get me to buy one.
Yeah.
Like every time I went to Amazon, it was suggesting that I buy a flat screen TV.
And I subscribe to the RSS feed from fatwallet.com. You remember a few weeks ago, Russ Miller told us about the RSS feed from Slick Deals?
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
I got this shirt from Slick Deals.
You did not.
$6.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Well, who made that shirt?
This is a Bill Blass shirt.
A Bill Blass, kind of like seersucker kind of look, but it's not seersucker.
It's polyester.
Yeah. But, I mean, it has that blue and white
stripe
yeah, like Matlock yeah. might wear it.
Like Matlock might wear it, yes. Got it at Amazon.
Amazon for $6.
For $6, and they wanted me to buy a $700 TV with it, but... Customers who bought this shirt also bought a $600 TV.
Well, right. And, you know, I have to tell you that I was the Fat Wallet. Almost every single day on Fat Wallet, somebody would post or several people would post the latest flat screen television, LCD TV, which is, I think, well, it was very confusing. It was very tough because while the prices were excellent, I had nothing mentioned. Okay?
Interesting.
And so, like, if you ever, like, if a Panasonic, not that they're great or anything, but if a Panasonic LCD TV would come up on Fat Wallet, it was always, like, $1,249. Or Philips would be, you know, $1,199 or something like that. But then, like, Syntax, 32, and not Syntax, like, tax on smokes and beer, I mean, S-Y-N-T, like, Syntax Error from the old Commodore
sure,
basic.
Sure.
What I mean is that like Syntax 32-inch LCD TV $799 or Olivea or like O L I V E A or something like that. All these weird brands I'd never heard of. You know, the truth of the matter is they're probably to quote Sabra Price is Right, is probably like, it's all like Toshiba guts, you know what I mean? Like, it's all probably like non, you know, it's probably like the same innards as the Panasonic without the Panasonic name. But I don't know that for sure.
Maybe a cheaper case or something.
Yeah, probably.
Or a different remote.
Or maybe worse speakers? Is that possible?
It's not possible. I don't know. I don't know.
maybe it's one of these deals where it's like not as many inputs or slightly older technology or slightly lesser technology, but the same manufacturer is just, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never heard of these brands. But I did look around, and there are a lot of these there's a lot of discussion groups out there, a lot of forums and things where people talk about the TVs, and people were talking about these sort of brands I'd never heard of, and some of them were getting quite positive reviews. So I don't know what to make of it.
So did you get one?
No.
Oh.
I don't have that. I just don't have that kind of money to spend on a television. I still have my I don't have an HD receiver either.
I see.
But having said that, I did get for Hanukkah the IO Data Avel Link Player 2.
What is that?
Whoa, it's a media extender.
A media extender?
Yeah.
We talked about those the other week, didn't we?
Did we?
Didn't we?
I don't know, did we?
Yes, I believe we did. Okay, it was the week I wasn't here. I remember listening on the IceCast.
Right, so I'm getting one. I went with the IO Data Avel Link Player 2. And it's definitely a Taiwanese product. Very popular in Japan, Taiwan, and China. The model they
sell... Pacific Rim, as they say.
Indeed. And the model they sell over there has like a wireless networking component and DVI output.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but the one they sell in America does not.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're not getting that one?
I am getting...
Or you are getting that one?
I am getting that one, even so. I'm going to run a... I'm probably just going to wind up running a network cable from the computer in the next room to my bedroom and using the XP network bridge technology.
Well, I have a link here for you. FlatTVPeople.com.
FlatTVPeople.com. All right, well, give me a second, and I am on it.
And if you go to FlatTVPeople.com/tutorial/LCD-VS-plasma.asp.
You got all that?
Yeah.
That's going to be on the blog, won't it?
That'll be in the show notes, yes.
Okay, now wait a minute. Work me... Go. Okay, wait. I went to FlatTVPeople.com.
Yeah. Slash.
And I'm... Wait, there's a tutorials.
Yes, tutorials.
Tutorials, and compare LCD TVs to plasma.
That sounds right.
And, okay, here it is.
So this was updated a year ago.
But we've talked about this a couple of times. We were asked directly, should I buy LCD or should I buy plasma? And we had a hell of a time answering the question.
Well, it turns out the answer is right here on Flat TV People.
Is there an answer?
Well, they go through a bunch of different criteria, like screen size, viewing angle. I'm just reading down the list here.
Yeah,
screen refresh rates, burn-in.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a note about the plasma TV and a note about the LCD and then say which one wins that comparison. And it looks like, to me, LCD won almost all the categories, but a lot of them weren't like a really huge win. A lot of them were...
Or like shipping.
Yeah,
is shipping. That really a big category?
Well, the thing that was weird to me is weight, durability, shipping, and installation are all almost the same category. They say that, you know, geez, and they mm-hmm. say that four times.
Mm-hmm.
So that should maybe count as one or possibly two categories, not four. But it looks like LCD has the advantage on most of the
well,
comparisons.
Well, LCDs are going to be cheaper. They're going to be lighter and more durable, and they're not going to suffer from burn-in.
They're going to have a slightly better viewing angle.
Yeah, but they don't handle rapid movements in video quite as well as the plasma TVs.
So there you
have
it.
But it looks like anything under 16 milliseconds for refresh rate is not going to be very noticeable. So
yeah, a couple of them said that, you know, both of them are going to be good enough for, you know, a regular consumer application. So,
well, now what they, you know, I would really, I think this is terrific. Okay, But, you know, in all honesty, and I understand that they're just going to compare LCD to plasma because it's flattvpeople.com, and I get that. But I really would love to see both of them compared to the DLP television.
The DLP television? What's that?
Digital Light Projection, I believe. And it's basically a flat screen, but it's not a flat box. Okay? But I'm told that DLP is much brighter, no burn-in. It's basically like CRT in terms of, handling movement. And really, I'm told you can get much more bang for your buck in terms of size and brightness if you even go with the DLP projector. Instead of getting the actual TV, you can mount the projector on the ceiling or on a table or whatever, and then you can have, like, 100-inch television for $1,000.
So there's two kinds. There's a projector and there's also a TV.
It's just a technology. So the DLP, right. It's just a projector. You know, it's like the latest in. You know, it's like the projector you might use at a. Put a PowerPoint on, but you're watching TV on it instead.
Sure. I've done that.
Yeah. And it's like supposed to be, the newest ones are supposed to be like unbelievably bright and beautiful and inexpensive and small and whatever. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
So I don't know. But and then if you ever see the DLP TVs at Best Buy, they're huge. I mean, they're like enormous screens, but it's like, you know, they've got a whole back to them because it's a projection situation. So they need room to, you know.
So it's like in the old days when they had projection TVs.
Yeah, except
only it's the new days.
Supposedly this is way better, but I heard that the viewing angle isn't as big, you know.
I see.
But I think you can get more for your money, but I'm really not sure. Supposedly the brightness is just supposed to be out of this world.
Well, so if you had a projector, that'd be pretty convenient because it's a projector is way smaller than a television set.
Right.
And you could make it as big or small as you have space for.
Right, but then again, you run into trouble. Like, for instance, what do you do with the input cable? How do you get it to the projector, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, if you have just a regular TV, you know, you probably have your shelf of components, and you got the cable.
Your media totem?
Exactly. Beautifully done. You've got your media totem, and you've got the cable coming in the back, and it's kind of obscured that way, and it's convenient and everything. But if you have the... you know, if you're going to hang the projector off your ceiling, you're not going to have much flexibility in terms of, you know, screen size. I mean, what are you going to have three different places to hang it or something? And you got to run a cable up your wall or through your ceiling or something and drop it down or something like that. Or if you have it in the center of your room, what are you going to do? You're going to have it under the rug or, I mean, what are you going to do?
Cables hanging from the ceiling are totally ghetto.
Well, I mean, if you don't have any choice, then it's what you got to do. I mean, if you have like a plaster ceiling, you're not going to bust it up. To run a cable through it.
Yeah. I don't know what you're going to do.
So that's the disadvantage of the projector.
Still.
Right there. Now, in my case, it could actually work because my cable actually comes from outside, from my satellite dish, down the side of my house, and through my window frame, which is in the back corner of my living room. So I can run it, like, behind my couch and under and up, you know, like that.
Maybe you could snake it through the electrical wiring and have it come out a lamp fixture. And then that would definitely wire in an electrical outlet.
I mean, it would have to be something like that. So yeah. I think DLP has, you know, huge disadvantages just the same. Now, of course, now, as I said earlier, I'm waiting for the OLED.
Here we go with OLEDs again.
Yeah, but I already said that a couple of weeks ago, so don't freak out or anything. But if you do Google, let me see if I can find one. OLED space TV, if you Google it, I think there's an article right off the bat that you'll get the Engadget article has pictures of Samsung's 40-inch OLED TV.
And a very surprised-looking woman standing behind it.
She is thrilled. And if you notice,
wow,
very thin and very bright and very sharp. And the thing about the OLEDs, I guess... And the thing about OLEDs is that it's, I guess the OLEDs don't, there's no chance of burn-in. It's like super fast response times, super, super bright. Like,
what does the O stand for again?
What's the O?
In OLED?
Organic, I believe.
Organic?
I believe, yeah.
That's preposterous.
It is. Oh, Amitai's online.
Amitai who? I don't know any Amitai.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna IM Amitai right now.
It's on the Google. Developed by Kodak. Who could that be?
Well, I don't know. It could be Amitai.
Could be.
Amitai is with us, and let's see. He guess says Happy Hanukkah. Same to you, my friend. Same to you. If anybody remembers Amitai, he was on the show for several months. He was our Apple guru when Doug could no longer perform his duties as Senor Crapple. And Amitai was also our what is it, the NetBSD? Is that his
Yeah, that's his. That's to him like OLEDs are to you.
Just a passion and an obsession.
Almost a perversion.
A perversion. What does he do with NetBSD?
What do you do with OLEDs?
Fuck them.
Oh, jeez. I could have lived my whole life without hearing that.
Well, you set it up. Anyway, Amitai, if you're listening, I am us with whatever you want to talk about, whatever you've got to say. Now, but the problem is that if he's listening on the Icecast, he's going to be about 30 seconds behind.
I see.
So you'll discover that... you know, as you listen to a topic we've already left, because Amitai had something to say. He says, it's a mental illness, no shame. And that's, of course, in reference to his obsession with NetBSD. See how that worked?
Just yes. As I would,
from my mouth to God's ears.
Or Amitai's.
No shame. Okay, on LCDs and stuff, yes, Icecat. I don't know what he's talking about.
Maybe this is the mental problem he was talking about.
I know a little about the flat panel hoo-ha. All right, Amitai, in 30 seconds from now, we will share your flat panel hoo-ha-hurry. And by the way, you wanted to talk a little bit about ice casting.
Yes, over the holiday, I had a relative ask me about, actually the term he used was internet radio broadcasting. But I'm not sure that's...
That's also known as ERB.
ERB, Internet Radio Broadcasting.
Get it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. It's like an acronym.
No, it's a... Yes, it is an acronym. It's exactly what
Much
it is.
Like OLED or BSD.
You know what I miss is a game called Acrophobia.
That's a mental disease. No shame in it.
No. Acrophobia was an online game... that people would get together in a room. You'd have up to like 12 or 14 players in a room, and the game would produce acronyms of anywhere from 3 to 7 letters, and everybody would try to come up with what it stood for, and you voted for your favorite answer, and whoever got the most points,
Nice.
It was it was a race to like 30 points, and whoever got the 30 points first would play in like the little finals round or whatever, and it was fun. All right, here we go. We got something from Amitai here. He knows a little bit about the flat panel hoo-ha, but in my tiny room, the only usable thing I can do is an LCD. So that's one of the huge things about LCD and plasma and everything is that they're, 3-4 inches thick, and you
sure.
can hang them on a wall and stuff that you could just never do. Like, when people were getting LCD monitors, they were reclaiming, a ton of desk space.
Oh, yeah.
A big deal. If I had brought a CRT here from Cleveland, it would have had nowhere to go on the desk. Thank goodness for Dell. And that's true. Dell systems these days are, either coming with LCD monitors or
yeah,
the upgrades are so cheap.
$100
or something. Yeah, $100 or something like that. I just saw my friend when I was in Maryland at home for the holidays. Just saw his new XPS, Dell XPS desktop with a big purple glow on the front. And it is a beast. And he's running SATA striping, RAID 0, I believe.
Wow. Is he a dork?
Yeah, a little bit. He's a like a customer service manager guy over at, it used to be UUNet. Then it became WorldCom. Then it became MCI. And now I guess perhaps Verizon is his next overlord.
Interesting.
Let's see. There's an... Ah, Amitai is explaining... why his answers are taking longer than 30 seconds. He says there's an additional 30-second delay as nerve signals attempt to traverse my cavernous brain.
His cavernous brain. Is that an external brain?
He's actually got a... His brain's on USB 1.1.
Oh.
Where the rest of us are
on... You know, this device could function faster.
Some people are on USB 1.1. Some are on USB 2.0. Some people are on FireWire.
Yes.
Ha ha! Ha! All right. Where are we going here? Oh, okay. Herb.
Yes, Herb. So, I think really what he was asking is, how do you do a show like ours? Which, our show is a little bit different from normal podcasts, because normal podcasts, you record your podcast to a hard drive and then just throw the MP3 out there on a website. Ours is live over IceCast. So I was wondering if maybe we could go through our technical setup and just describe all the points.
Absolutely.
From the origin to the listener's ear. Like the words come out your face, right, Irv?
Words? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
They come out your mouth.
Yeah.
And they go into this microphone.
Come out of my face hole?
Yes, they come out of your entire face.
One of the five holes on my face.
Yes.
Okay. So the words come out of my mouth hole, and they go into this device called a microphone.
Now, does it take any special microphone? We have some pretty fancy ones here.
Well, these I bought as just a group of microphones on eBay for about $20. I got about six microphones, five of which work. What I did was I went and got one of these mixing boards.
So that's the next stop after the microphone is the mixing board.
Well, and now this mixing board is from a manufacturer, a German manufacturer called Behringer.
Behringer.
Behringer, and it's called the Eurorack, and it can take up to inputs, microphones, although it has built into it a amplifier.
Nice.
And this amplifier will boost these microphone signals, because we do have one microphone plugged into... These are not powered. These are non-powered microphones. They don't have batteries in them or anything like that. These go into here, and it has a little sort of amp thing that it does. I think it just electronically boosts
right,
the signals.
And you can boost each channel separately. So when Matt's here and he's being all loud,
we can
cut him a little bit.
I mean, it has levels for
right.
all of them, but what I'm saying is it also has a...
Then it's got a master.
Yeah, just like a little amplifier inside of it and a little capacitor thing.
So that's a nice feature.
So that's a great thing. So basically... We just run the microphones into this mixing board, and then the mixing board has a single output that we run to the mic jack of our of my sound card.
Now, if you were just one person in their basement doing a podcast, you could just plug a microphone into the sound card.
I suppose you probably could. I don't know what kind of sound quality you would get. If you wanted to use a more high quality microphone, you probably still want to go and get like a... I mean, you can get like as little as like a four-channel mixing board. This happens to have 12, but really only four of them are really, really usable for our purposes.
And we haven't done it yet, but I suppose you could plug in other audio sources like a mini disc or a MP3 player.
I think we could. I mean, if we wanted to have somebody here who had a big thing of sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so every time I said something, he went like boing or... You know, slide whistle or something.
That would
crazy.
Never get old.
No, not at all, Hey now! That kind of stuff like they do on Howard Stern. I suppose we could, run output from his computer or whatever into this thing and
sure.
that would work.
Or laugh track.
Oh, don't even tell me. We've got messages here from Amitai. He says, no, it couldn't function faster. Think back. He says, if either of you guys have iChat, maybe I could tune in via iChat for less delay. And then he goes, show this to Drew if he has his Portamac. It's Police Academy's Michael Winslow. Show what to Drew? What are you talking about? I don't have a link.
I don't have any kind of Mac anyway. No.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't have his Mac anyhow. Do you have a Mac?
I have a Mac.
Are you talking about the iPod?
8500.
What's that?
It's an old piece of hardware.
Okay.
Okay, so the signal comes out of the mixing board and it goes into the computer.
Yeah.
What software picks it up from there?
Well, one thing I do, and now he says, now it's like everyone has mental illness. He's infecting us.
Yes.
Okay, so what I do is I use an open source sound recording program called Audacity.
Audacity, how do you spell that?
Audacity. kind of like Audacity, but it's Audacity.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to catch up on the show notes here.
No problem at all. So Audacity is what I use to record the show because I need to post the MP3s. But that has nothing to do with the actual ice casting, which is the next component. Ice casting is what produces this sort of semi-live internet broadcast.
Now, what's ice casting all about?
Okay.
So you run a program, an ice cast client, perhaps, on your computer?
Ice casting, in my particular situation, ice casting consists of two software programs running together, concurrently. One is the one's like the studio program, which takes the sound and produce and reproduces it at a certain bit rate and sends that signal to the server component, which is another programming that happens to be running on a different computer. Doesn't have to run on a different computer, but it can, and in this case it does.
Okay.
And this other program is different. This is an Icecast server.
So now, is that here in your basement, or is that
that's here in my basement
somewhere?
Also. No. It would be someday. I'd love to have it upstream somewhere where they have a ton of bandwidth. Okay, so that like
right.
If 1,000 people were connected and listening, it could do it.
But okay, so people are connecting to this machine in your basement over your DSL line.
Correct.
So if it's going to be 1,000 people, we're gonna.
Well, I've limited it, I think, to 16.
Okay. Because so you can limit it. Now,
I've limited it to 16 because the stream that's produced is about 2 kilobytes per second, and my upload kind of tops out around 35
okay.
kilobytes
so that's pretty
per
close.
Second. So
2 times 16 is 32.
Right.
And Icecast is a free download?
Well, okay, you don't just... It's not just like Icecast. It's you have to get Icecast servers. Icecasting is sort of the standard, if you will, and these Icecast servers all kind of go about it the same way. And then you can kind of play this stream file through like Windows Media Player or Winamp or something like that. Something that can play a URL-based file.
That the listeners connect to it with that.
That's correct.
Okay.
And of course, open the hole in your firewall. And make sure that your internet address, if you're using a dynamic IP, you're going to have to get something like tzo.com or something like that. It's a dynamic DNS service. It's like no IP or TZO.
So it sounds like we're not at the point yet where you can just download one thing and double-click it and be internet radio broadcasting. You have a lot of pieces to put together. You have
maybe,
a lot of understanding.
Maybe somebody has put together the one-stop shop, you know, turnkey and other software cliche programs where you just, right out of the box, you just answer a few questions and it starts producing an internet-based broadcast. That may exist. I haven't looked in a long time. I haven't looked since we started doing the show, which was in, like,
January 10th, 2005.
That's right. So... I don't know. Maybe that's something we should look into.
Maybe it is.
Maybe I'll do it right now. But I just want to say that Amitai has, as we have many times on the show, is frustrated with our use of things like DSL line. As in ATM machine or PIN number.
Or Berkeley BSD.
Or Berkeley BSD. No, let's wait. Let's wait and see how long it takes for him to react to that one. Okay. So let's look. Let me actually take a look here. Let me jump over here onto the old web browser, and I'm gonna look up Icecast server because it would be great. I mean, it took me a long time really to figure this crap out and get it going.
But you did a sweet job.
Well, it works.
Yeah.
But I'm actually using a piece of commercial software to produce the stream, and it won't let me go past 4 hours, but that's more than enough.
What's the commercial software you're using to produce the stream? I thought Audacity was doing that.
No, Audacity records what we're doing so I can produce it as an MP3.
So you have our input going to two places, Audacity and to this other place?
That's correct.
Interesting.
That's correct. Simplecast is what I've been using to produce the stream. And what Simplecast does is produce the stream, and then it logs on to my Icecast server.
I see.
Which then receives the stream and accepts client connections and distributes that.
You have to remember not to cross the streams.
Please don't cross the streams. You'll blow up my computer. If you go to icecast.org, it looks like that's, you know, that's it, it's a, it looks like a looks like a fresh meat kind of a page. We are pleased to announce the next release of Icecast.
Maybe we should upgrade.
Well, maybe we should. We got load test reports. What I don't know, let me see. We have any? We got docs here. Do we have any screenshots? No screenshots. What am I using?
I don't know what you're using.
Amitai goes, Berkeley BSD software distribution? I know that one. Yes, no doubt about it. Let me see here.
So, once you've got all the technological pieces working, then it's up to you to come up with witty content. And
yeah, that we can't help you with.
And if you're going to play music, it needs to be appropriately cleared with the copyright holder.
I suppose that's true. Although, if you're not doing it for profit, I don't know if it matters.
We're not lawyers. Check with the...
Yeah.
Check with the RIAA on that one.
I would if I were you.
The recording RIAA.
What, is there another?
No, but it's kind of like DSL line.
Oh, the recording RIAA.
The RIAA Association.
There you go. I think that's what he's really talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually, I might be using the actual icecast.org server to produce to handle the client connections.
So you have no idea how this works either.
Not really.
Nice.
I got it to work, and that's what's important. I don't think I'm using the finer aspects of it, but, okay, Icecast version 2.x, Icecast 2. So that's my server, I guess. Something called Icecast 2.
Icecast 2.
Yeah. Icecast 2. And looks like I've got a couple of client connections. So let me see if I can find that.
Now, so once the show is concluded, then we click save on Audacity and take that MP3 and put that up on the website.
That's right. That's right. And we just use an FTP client to throw that up there. Actually, sometimes, well, I have to use, actually, to be perfectly honest, I record using Audacity because I used to use Adobe Audition, which used to be CoolEdit Pro, but it was crashing all the time. So, but what I still use that for
nothing
is...
Cool about that.
Nothing cool about that, no. What I still use it for is to mix things. Like, if I want to... You know, when I have to add the intro and the outro later, I use that to do that.
Audacity does that.
Yeah, probably. I just haven't bothered to figure out how to do it with Audacity. I just wanted to find something that would record the damn show without crashing.
Sure.
Which it's not even that great a job. As you recall from a few weeks ago, my computer kept rebooting.
Oh, who could forget that?
But that might not have been Audacity's fault.
Yeah. So I don't know if this really clears it up for anybody who's sort of... you know, not really hip to the high-tech stuff. I think we probably threw out a lot of jargon. That's
basically, here's the deal, okay? You have to capture your voice, or whatever it is you're broadcasting, somehow. So that usually involves things like microphones, mixing boards, you know, inputs, outputs. Run all of that into your computer sound card. If you really want to go all out, if you want to maximize sound quality... Go get yourself a really nice sound card. I believe there are even sound cards that function as mixing boards.
What?
Yes, I believe that's true. But, like, not a whole lot of channels or anything. Maybe, like, two channels or something. But I believe that may be true. Or not so much a sound card, but, like, a computer component.
Sure.
That will, you know, do that. And then maybe you just run that into your... Anyway, you got to get it into your computer somehow.
Yeah.
So a good way to do that is to just run the line right into... your computer sound card. If you want to go all out, you can get one of those, like, you know, like, what, Audigy, I guess, like the real super duper sound cards with all kinds of different inputs and various things, and you can really go for it. Since we're just voice, basically, we don't need much.
And if you don't need to be a real-time radio broadcast, you can almost end the story there. You just take that input and record it with Audacity, save it as an MP3, and put it on your website.
Yeah, and you're done. Yeah. And then update your RSS file, and people will be able to go get it.
Right.
However, if you wanted to do this sort of semi-live broadcast like we do, you need to have something that will capture the input, mix it down to a very low bit rate. We have it down to a 16 kilobits per second, or whatever the hell.
Furlongs per fortnight?
Yes. Yes, 16 furlongs per... Okay, well, wait a minute. You know what? We've got like a... You got to capture the signal, mix it down, and send it to an Icecast server. Okay? There are other ways, I think, to disseminate broadcasts, like semi-live broadcasts, like shoutcasts and things like that. But I don't know. I think they're similar. And then you have to just send that to an Icecast server, and the Icecast server handles all the client connections and stuff like that.
And then the clients just use Winamp or whatever they have, or
iTunes.
You
really, clients can just use Internet Explorer or Firefox or whatever to go to the web. There's a web page that's produced by these Icecast servers.
Okay.
And then there's a link. You click the link, and that launches an M3U file.
Okay.
And that's a playlist file. And that playlist file will launch your player, and in the playlist is the web address to the stream that's being produced, and it will jump on when it can.
So it's much easier for the listeners than for the producers.
The listeners barely have to click a link. Shit.
Yeah.
Amitai has about 18 messages backlogged here, so let's see how this goes. Okay, I was talking about Adobe Audition. He says you can also still use Adobe to build homes in the American Southwest style. And then he says, but don't stand on the second floor in case it crashes.
Oh,
and then he
clever.
Goes, making jokes sucks a lot over special relativity delay. And,
yeah, that's the problem.
Yes, you go ahead and believe that, Amitai. Absolutely. No, keep them coming. We love it. And Amitai, if I may just say, I hope you're sitting there chuckling to yourself. May I just say that it's great having you back, even if it is in this sort of limited, format. You know, it is great to have you back on the show and contributing once again with your special brand of humor. And when I say special, I think we all know what I mean.
We'll have a Sam Adams for you, Amitai.
Yes, let's do that right now.
Because we know how much you like it.
Mm-mm. So what the hell else can we talk? Amitai, oh, by the way, Amitai, I wanted to ask you if you ever received your compensation for the work you did on the MySQL backup script that you were such a good bloke in creating for my friend Don over at Capitalist Cleveland, which, by the way, I'm going to be co-hosting with Don starting in the new year.
What?
Well, his co-host Jeff Cheney is a new father, and they've had to change time slots from 8 to 9 to 9 to 10, and so he simply... Not only is he an entrepreneur and a new father, he was also trying to be a radio show host, and it was just becoming too cumbersome, too burdensome. So,
fame has its price.
Indeed. So he has given the reins to me.
Wow. So when can we listen to that?
Well, that's Capitalist Cleveland from 9 to 10, Tuesday mornings, WERE 1300.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland. There is
no
ice casting going on.
Is there a website for the show notes?
Well, you can just go to capitalistcleveland.com.
Okay.
And you can listen to all the past shows, and you can see who's supposed to be on the show coming up next, what have you. It's a little website that I put together, and it's nothing special.
Nothing
very fancy.
Special.
I like it, though. It's clean, crisp, warm.
Sounds like it has a MySQL back end.
It most certainly does. That's but for the mostly it's well it has what's in the MySQL database, you might ask, for a site like that. We're running a PHP based forum which uses MySQL to store all the entries.
Oh, I see.
We're also using a PHP-based mass mailer that Don uses to announce the show.
Spam?
Well, it's not completely spam. We don't get a lot of...
It's opt-in, then.
Yeah, but everybody was already kind of receiving messages from him about stuff. And so he just put them into this program, and it takes care of it. And so that whole database is in there, too. So Amitai and Matt did a great job putting together that script, and I paid them each for their time. I paid them each for 1 hour of their time.
Way to go, guys.
They each received $60.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
I'm gonna withhold any comments I might have about that.
What comments would you possibly have about that?
Hey, I found a cool website.
Hey, what do you got?
A website called Instructables.com.
Okay. I'm on my way.
It's Instructables.com, just like it sounds.
Instructables?
Yeah, if you figure out how to do something, like, say put a LED light in the fingertip of a glove.
Oh my God, who has done that?
I don't know, some dude who can't spell glove. If you figure out how to do something like that, you can take pictures of it step by step and post them to this website. And then everybody can go to the website and enjoy how to use it. So if you go to Instructables.com and click the Explore button.
This is fantastic.
And then the Recent tag, it'll give you a whole bunch of stuff. Some people put recipes out there. Some people put, how to do anything at all. And
this is awesome.
Isn't it?
This guy made a curvy bike.
A curvy
Somebody
bike.
Somebody else made pesto.
Yeah. There was a
pesto is actually really damn easy to make. It's like basil, garlic, salt, pine nuts, and oil in a food processor.
Hardly even worth posting to Instructables.
Well, I mean, if I guess pestos are, differentiated from one another in very small ways.
Sure.
So
this guy made took a glove, and he sewed a LED into the fingertip.
What do you mean this guy? It was you!
It wasn't me.
Oh, you found the project on Instructables?
Yeah.
And you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm an Instructably.
You are instructed.
Yes.
You've been instructabled.
I've been schooled. And he sewed an LED into the fingertip and put a battery pack in there and found a magnetic switch so that when you close your hand, the magnet in the fingertip connects with a magnet switch in the palm of the glove. Closes the circuit and turns on the LED, and so when you point your finger, it shines a light. It's pretty cool, so I made one.
It looks pretty good. I'm looking at it right now. Glove light, posted by Roy.
Only he spelled it G-O-L-V-E.
G-L-O-V-E.
No, G-O-L-V-E.
Where do you see that? Oh, Golve Light Images.
Golve Light Images, yeah.
But glove, the article is spelled right.
Yes.
Well, that is fantastic. And let me just say that I saw Dewey's glove light. And it is, A, it works, and B, it has a sort of fantastic sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for? A fantastic, like, science fiction kind of feel to it.
Like E.T.?
And maybe a little bit like E.T. I'm a little worried about the exposed wires.
Oh, well, it's low voltage. It's a 3-volt battery from a calculator. It's about the size of a nickel. Looks like this guy used, 3 AA's or something.
Well, I say that it's a pretty nifty little project.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it works.
Yeah, it works.
Well, why did you pick that one? Because you had the materials and...
Because I was doing another project with LEDs and I had a couple left over.
I love LEDs, did I tell you that?
You like a special kind of LEDs, though,
I like a
you?
Whole bunch you of like them put together
organic
into a TV.
LEDs. Hey! If you like LEDs, here's what to do.
Okay, what?
Go to Target this week.
Yeah?
And they have LED Christmas lights.
Oh.
You can get a string of 60 for $6.
Whoa.
String on your Christmas tree or whatever holiday celebratory plant life you bring inside.
your celebratory conveyance.
But, yes. But these LEDs are just in little sockets. You can pop them out and use them in whatever project you want.
Awesome.
And 60 for $6 is 10 cents a piece, if my math is correct.
Very nice.
And it's a pretty cheap price for LEDs.
I agree.
So do it.
Okay, fine. Do you even want to hear about what this guy thinks the top tech 10 trends... top 10 tech trends for 2006 are?
For 2006?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You want to hear this?
Well, what guy is it?
I don't actually know. Is it I don't see the author's name. It's from the Mercury News.
Where'd you link from?
San Jose Mercury News.
Should I just go there?
It's from Slashdot. It was posted on Sunday, December 25th.
Oh, a couple days ago then.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the article was. Do you want me to just tell you the web address?
Yes, please.
All right. www.mercurynews.com /MLD/Mercury News/Business/Technology/134869/60.htm.
Okay.
SiliconValley.com's annual look into a crystal ball for technology trends in 2006. Let's see. Well, I guess number one is number one, but I don't see the number one. Video blogs?
Oh, no.
Gah. Internet phone calls, wireless networks. Big Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi expansion, I think, is his number one tech trend. And I think I can get with that. Cell phones that do everything. You know, I'm waiting on a cell phone that's a PDA, a cell phone, and a Wi-Fi browser as well. I want Wi-Fi on my cell phone.
That'd be sweet.
That would be sweet. Because that if I can use sweet. Wi-Fi instead of, you know, cell minutes, I think...
Then you can use Skype when you're in, or any voice over IP, when you're in network range.
Well, I wonder how Skype would work on a cell phone.
It seems like a lot of layers just to do something pretty simple, but...
Just make a call, which I could just, if I wasn't such a cheap bastard, I'd just use my minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I want Wi-Fi. Actually, here's the reason I want Wi-Fi. The biggest reason I want Wi-Fi is because I want to be able to sit in my house and sync up with my Outlook without any cables and without using Bluetooth.
That'd be nice.
That's what I'm hoping I can do. What do you think? Possible? Impossible?
I don't see why it's not possible.
I hope it's possible.
I mean, a Wi-Fi card is the size of a credit card, right?
Actually, the Wi-Fi cards are like on SD cards now.
So that's the size of a postage
stamp.
But
I want it to be part of the phone.
I'm saying it's small enough to be part of a phone.
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
What's what I'm saying?
Internet phone calls, number three. Office moves to the web. I believe that. Number four, I think that's going to be huge in 2006. I think people are going to start discovering that they can use all their office applications on the web, like using Ajax or some other similar technology. And they will, you know, that's what I've been said. I've been saying over and over again. I really hope that Google will provide me a full office suite.
I agree, but I'm skeptical that we'll get there in 2006.
And I want to store all my files in my Gmail.
Who wouldn't? But it's going to take time. It's going to take longer than a year.
Okay, it won't be perfected in 2006, but I think more and more is going to be available.
Well, how's it going to be a top trend of 2006 if there's...
Because it's going to go from point A to point B on... It'll be the top trend, I think, for 2006 through 2010.
Oh, sure.
If I could online, okay, if I could use a word processor, a fully functional...
Cell phone.
WYSIWYG... I don't have to do it for my cell phone. Okay, what do I can do? WYSIWYG word processor, spreadsheet, presentation software, maybe little, like access, like a little small database thingy, like the Google base or something for my own personal uses with, full SQL and views and forms and all that kind of stuff.
Backup scripts?
And, only if Amitai makes them. And speaking of which, shit.
What?
I've missed like 420 messages of his.
That's a lot of messages. He's been busy with that cavernous brain of his.
That's right. Shit. Okay, and also I want to be able to do my Quicken and my QuickBooks there. Maybe even do like my taxes. All kinds of things.
Taxes could do themselves.
Almost. As long as everything's categorized correctly. Okay, here we go. Going back about a half hour. Okay, he's talking about snakes on a plane. Samuel L. Jackson.
How are you going to get a snake on a plane? You can't even take matches on a plane.
I guess this is a cool movie coming out with Samuel L. Jackson, who even threatened to quit when they wanted to rename it to something less awesome. And he's got a website here. You got to get ready.
Ready.
Okay. Hucksblog.blogspot.com. So H-U-C-K-S blog.blogspot.com/2005. /08/snakes-on-motherfucking-plane.html. Screenwriter's saga of near involvement with this movie. And he said the movie title, Samuel L. Jackson said the movie title is the reason he signed on with the project. Amitai's idea for your 60 LEDs is to make a very low resolution monitor.
Okay.
Like 10 by 6. And, he hates that his Treo 650 lacks Wi-Fi, and he's on the 802.11 networks all the time at school, and he is pissed that he didn't buy an expensive enough phone. You can buy a big old Wi-Fi add-on. It's like twice the size of the Treo itself, and he refers to that as McDiculous.
McDiculous.
I guess that's the new way of saying ridiculous at Columbia University in ultra hip Manhattan.
Is it in Manhattan?
Yeah, it is in Manhattan. I believe it is on the Upper West Side.
Okay.
I think it's like on the East Side, on the Upper East Side where Columbia is Harlem, and on the West Side is where Columbia is.
I don't know much about Manhattan.
It looks like a big dangling schlong. If you look, go to Google Maps satellite view. Okay.
Go to Google Images and type in schlong.
Well, he goes, I'm a few blocks from Harlem. See, I was right. If you look at Google Maps, okay, maybe you could find a good view of this and then put the link in the blog.
Yes, sir.
If you get a look at Manhattan, okay, from the satellite view, you'll notice that Manhattan, the island, looks like a a hanging, flaccid penis, and the scrotum is actually up there. And the scrotum would be at where I think what is that up there? Queens?
I don't know.
I think the scrotum is Queens.
Is that why the Indians sold it for beads? They didn't like the way it looked on a map.
They didn't like living on a giant cock of an island. Well, anyway, so if you can find that, or maybe I should.
I'm
find
working
it.
On it.
Okay, let's see some of these other research or tech trends. The stem cell research advances despite legal challenges. I have to believe that's true, and if not in the United States, somewhere else. But our law, you know, that's, I'm telling you, man. You can't hesitate too much on science, or you'll fall behind irrevocably. So, religion has its place, but not in the lab, I don't think. And, number 6, biotechs target flu vaccines. Sure, why not? That makes good sense. You could probably sell quite a few of them.
Sure.
Even small startups go global. Absolutely, why not? There's nothing preventing that, especially when people, you know what I love about PayPal, by the way?
The name?
Well, not only the name, but I can also buy things in other countries, and it will convert the currency and do all that for
Big
me.
Big deal. You can do that with your Visa card.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I just like it. You're right. You're always right, Drew.
I'm not always right, but I am the answer man.
You are the answer man. Indeed you are. So let's see, what else? Video comes to the blog. I don't know if that I really give a crap about that.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about blogs is not the ability to do video. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it will catch on. Maybe we're wrong. Having a problem there?
My beer almost exploded. On-demand video everywhere. I definitely believe that, especially if things like, you know, like the iPod video or whatever, start putting TV shows and things on there.
Sure.
And clean technologies.
Like what?
I don't know, like hybrid cars and crap like that. I don't even care about the stupid environment. I just want cars to run on something other than oil.
Well,
he's right. The scrotum would be the Bronx. Excuse me, not Queens. Queens is down over by Queens is south, and it's where like next to Brooklyn, and it's where the airports are. He goes, I live on a big boob on Manhattan, though, so your simile fails. Well, whatever, man. I'm telling you, it looks like a giant dong. Have you found it yet?
I'm not finding a good image that.
All right, I'll show you. I'll show you. Maybe the map view is better. I'll show you.
I would have thought if that was true that somebody would have noticed it and put it on the web somewhere.
Well, maybe they have. I just
perhaps on a video blog.
All right. Well, I'm zooming in here. Whoops. I'm out in the Hamptons. I think I went a little too far east.
Yeah, you're over in the spleen.
I'm over in Long Island. There's Southampton, Brookhaven.
So were we supposed to talk about snakes on a plane, or were we just supposed to degenerate?
Did you go to that website?
Yes, I did.
Well,
you gave
me
the wrong URL, and I had to...
I gave you the wrong URL.
It was off by something. I don't know exactly what.
I mean, I gave you the wrong URL.
I went to exactly where you typed, and it said, file not found.
File not found? File not found?
404.
404?
You heard me.
That's horrible.
But I did track down the right link. It'll be in the show notes.
Okay. Well, what does it say on there?
It says that... Well, look at this. It says Manhattan looks like a penis.
Shut up. All right, here's a halfway decent pick. Let's see. I think I've got it here. I think I've got a halfway decent look at it. I just have to get the link for you.
Okay.
No, I zoomed in too far. Hold on. Okay, link to this page. All right, you ready?
Just email it.
Email it?
Yeah, just email it. I'll put it in the show notes.
All right, but you're going to check it out, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to check it out.
All right, hold on. Let me copy link location. I got to go over to Gmail. Hold on a sec. Hold on.
While you're doing that, do we have anything else on the agenda for tonight? Anything from Amitai?
Let me see what he's saying. Man, he hasn't said anything since his big boob statement. Amitai, what do you got for us? Give us a topic.
I think we covered a lot of ground tonight.
You think so?
Don't you?
I think we did.
Oh, we talked about all manner of things. We talked about half sour pickles.
We did. The subject is NYC cock monkey. Right into your noteworthy email.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding. It's not. All right. I just sent it to you.
Okay. I'll be looking for it. Got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Got it? Got it?
Okay.
I'm waiting. I'm wondering what his reaction will be.
Yeah.
No? Well, anyway, I happen to think that Manhattan looks like a big hanging dong. But maybe that's just an issue that I need to deal with.
Yeah, you could probably find all sorts of shapes in the various islands and archipelagos of the Earth. It's like looking for shapes
islands
in the clouds.
Islands and archipelagos.
You don't like archipelagos anymore?
No, hey. I dig it.
Well, what is your favorite geological feature?
My favorite geological feature... I got to think back because...
Is it the isthmus?
Well, you know, isthmus is a pretty sweet one, I got to say. I have to think back to, like, in elementary school, we did a whole unit on geographical features, you know, topological features.
Unit.
So, yeah, and we had all kinds of really tough and interesting and embarrassing words, like butte.
Butte.
Mesa.
Step.
Step. Isthmus. Peninsula.
Peninsula.
What do you got? Go.
Billabong.
Billabong.
Isn't that just the little... Or those mangroves?
I don't know what a mangrove is. I think a billabong is when part of the river dries up and it gets cut off from where it's flowing to. And so you have like this stagnant thing. It looks like a pond or a lake, but it's really a part of a river that got cut off.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay.
Let me hit the Wikipedia.
Define colon billabong on Google.
I just found it.
Hey, man, by the way, I just want to do something truly like computery and dorky here. This guy, rojackpot.com, where the best in technology gather, Adrian's rojackpot, did a whole thing on data compressors. And this is interesting because data compression software have been with us for a long, long time, from load and forget general compression utilities like Stacker and Disk Doubler, to the far more popular standalone compressors. They enable us to pack and compress data to reduce file size and save hard disk space. You know, it was always PKZip for me back in the day. But anyway. Of course, hard disk real estate is dirt cheap these days. With the ever-increasing popularity of file transfers over the internet, data compressors have become even more important to the user. And I agree with that. Although most of the files we download are available free of charge, several factors restrict binary addicts from running rampant and filling up their stupendously large hard disk and making a bunch of hard disk manufacturers happy in the process. So basically, you know, this is supposed to talk about some results. Let's see, from compression programs. And actually, this is something that's always interested me because I've always wondered. I've always just been using WinZip, basically, and wondering if I'm really doing getting the most bang for my buck there.
Well, so isn't it free?
So I'm getting a hell of a lot of bang for my buck.
For your $0? Yeah.
But what I mean is buck in a different sort of way. Since the DOS days, we have had ARJ, ZIP, LHA, RAR, and a host of other data compressors. And then they've made the move to GUI interfaces. And what the... Oh, I see. Investigating their performance, the benchmark file set. Okay, so I'm sure this file set's going to have all kinds of different things, like text documents, media, you know, maybe like Word docs, things like that. All right, so here are the programs they tried. 7-Zip with the format 7Z. ARG32, which is ARG, BZIP2, which is BZIP2, GZIP, which is GZIP, WinRK, which is RK, SBC Archiver, Squeeze, StuffIt Standard, WinAce, WinRAR, and WinZip. Most of them are free. A few of them cost like StuffIt. And, or WinRK. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not right about that at all. WinZip is $29. So is WinRAR. WinAce, StuffIt is $40. Free. WinRK is $30. GZIP is free. BZIP2 is free. ARG32 is $45. And 7-Zip is free with a donation. So that's not really free. The file sets were, okay, 24 WAV files at 200 megs. Oh, okay, so he made several 200 meg file sets, okay?
Okay.
Can you tell that I read the article before I looked at this? 24 WAV, because WAV files, he did MP3 files, a whole bunch of documents like HTML files, PowerPoints, docs, Excel files. He did some PDF files, DivX files, MPEG files, highly compressible pictures, and poorly compressible pictures. All of these different file things that I told you about, he made a different file set of each one of them, all 200 megs in size, thereabouts.
Wow. All right?
Does that make any sense?
This guy's got time on his hands.
He sure does, and he's given this a lot of thought, so I really am excited about this. And he used a regular old computer, no big deal. Here's a bunch of settings he used, blah, blah, blah. And what the hell?
Where's the results?
Coming.
I'm
audio files, highly compressible WAV files. Wow. Wow. WinRK, Squeeze, and SBC Archiver all compressed, all saved more than 43% of space.
Compressed 43%.
More than 43%. And WinAce, not far behind at 35%. StuffIt Standard at 20%. And then 7-Zip, BZIP, WinRAR, ARG32, WinZip, and GZIP were all between 10 and 15%. So that's a major, major discrepancy there.
Sure is.
I mean, that is huge. I mean, WinRK saved 90 million bytes, whereas WinZip saved 20 million. Of course, let's see. Having said all that, WinZip was among the fastest. So, fast, but not very efficient. In fact, WinRK, even though it's did the most, was by far the slowest.
Well, that seems like a reasonable trade-off.
Looks like SBC Archiver is the most efficient for the WAV files at 2,100 kilobytes saved per second. How does that sound?
Good.
All right, we'll try the poorly compressible MP3 files.
Yeah, they're already compressed is the key.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
To be sure. Let's see.
Compressing things that are already compressed generally doesn't save you any space. In fact, it can make things bigger.
Indeed.
Because to uncompress it, you need some sort of data that tells how you compressed it, and tacking that on to something that can't be compressed anymore actually makes the file bigger.
You're right.
So don't zip up your MP3s or your JPEGs.
Well, WinRK saved 3.9%.
See, that's not even worth running for 4%.
Yeah, it saved on a 200 meg file, it saved 7.5 megs.
It's not really worth it.
Not really worth it.
Unless you're trying to get it under 200 megs for some reason. And going from 201 to 197 is a big deal.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, so, doesn't really matter what you use. Now, documents, on the other hand, they're going to be quite compressible.
Sure.
I think.
Text compresses pretty well, usually.
Yep, all of them compressed by at least 34%, with WinRK at the top at 47.4%.
Uncompressed sound files are going to compress really well. And uncompressed image files will compress pretty well.
But again, WinRK was extremely slow. So the winner here in terms of efficiency was actually ARG32.
I'll put a plug in for StuffIt. They've been around a long time, and they handle a lot of formats.
Well, StuffIt's the big one on the Mac, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's where they started, I'm pretty sure.
The ebooks, which were PDFs, all compressed between 10 and 13%. So, a modest gain. DivX movies, I don't think, would compress very much, would they?
I believe DivX is a compressed format. So.
Yeah, so 6.1% was the top. And so not much there. But again, this WinRK, while very slow, is extremely potent.
And how much was that one?
I think that one was like $40 or something. MPEG movies, it did WinRK did 11%. Everything else was between 5.5% and 7.5%. So pretty modest there also. Highly compressible pictures came out at WinRK 53%, down to StuffIt at 29%.
So it sounds like WinRK is the
Well, WinRK is the least efficient by far of all of them.
Least efficient?
Yes, because...
The slowest?
It's the slowest by a lot.
But it's the most...
But it's
it compresses
the most, but it takes the longest time.
So that's the trade-off you're making. So that's if you don't care about time, but you do care about space...
I'm hoping at the end... Here,
spend
the JPEGs,
$40 on WinRK.
This is amazing. JPEGs, StuffIt, compressed them 25%. The next highest, 5%.
That is amazing.
That's crazy. How do they do that?
I don't know.
That's incredible.
Volume.
The change bank. Let's see. We've got a sort of an aggregated results here. Compression rate. Overall, WinRK by far compressed the most. GZIP and WinZip were tied for the least. StuffIt was kind of right in the middle.
But StuffIt was the fastest,
right? StuffIt was not the fastest.
Oh, wasn't
it right
the fastest?
In the middle. The fastest is GZIP. WinZip is 8,000 kilobytes per second.
That's a lot.
That's what, 8 megs a second?
Yes.
Whereas WinRK is 117 kilobytes per second. That's a huge difference.
KB bytes.
Yeah, 117 kilobytes.
KB bytes.
KB No, not KB Bites. K Bites. Yeah, bum. Now, the winner of efficiency was G-Zip. But I think the one... I don't know. I'm... Doesn't really look like any one makes... Is a... The most inefficient compressor was WinRK. Extremely slow. G-Zip was by far the most efficient. So it looks like G-Zip really is the winner. Although G-Zip, on average, saved the least amount of space, it was by far the fastest. So I don't really know. SBC Archiver, which was free, I believe, 20% space saved on average. It wasn't real fast or anything. So it was actually near the bottom in efficiency. I don't know what the answer is. Stuff at standard is right in the middle, so maybe you should just stick with that.
Well, it depends what you want. Do you want small files or do you want it done fast?
I guess G-Zip is probably the best way to go.
If you want it fast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want it really small, then you get WinRK or whatever that was.
That's what it looks like. All right, uh-oh, wait a minute. We've got a billion messages from Amitai here. Here we go. Anytime you say mangrove, you have to complete the obligatory Monty Python reference. Which is
we covered that in a previous show.
Wobbler, mangrove, something like that.
The Wobbler.
Okay, oh, Zen 3.0 is out and it's cool. Zen is, XEN. Zen is like VMware in concept. You run multiple OSs at the same time on one PC. The trade-off is that VMware runs unmodified, we asked Amitai if there's anything cool to talk about. The trade-off is that anything at all, theoretically, whereas Zen requires modifications to the OS kernel, which means you can only run OSs that are Zen-aware. Except, Zen 3.0 takes advantage of a new feature in high-end AMD chips and forthcoming Intel chips that is designed to support virtualization. So it can run unmodified OSs at excellent performance on those chips. That's the big deal in Zen 3.0. No surprise here, NetBSD supports Zen very nicely. Perhaps because they hired a NetBSD developer to make sure of it. Then he says Icecast broke for a moment there. I assume it's back. I don't know. Tell me if it's back, Amitai. We'll know in about a minute. So as a developer of a cross-platform Unix packaging system, Zen is neat. I can have a NetBSD and a newer NetBSD and a Linux and a FreeBSD or whatever supports Zen all at the same time on one machine. Also neat for sysadmins, you can isolate the logical functions of servers into their own virtual machines, and of course, it's free.
Of course.
I love VMware, so a free alternative to that would be a welcome addition, to be sure. It's one of the coolest things ever.
Who could argue with that?
What?
Who could argue with that?
You really can't. Ah, the Icecast is working.
Yay.
Whee!
So we should wrap it up. That's a lot.
That's a lot
of minutes.
I think it was a pretty good show. What do you think?
I think it was a fabulous show.
Wonderbar.
We should not invite the other guys more often.
Never. You guys are welcome to never come back. Amitai, it was a distinct pleasure having you with us. You may join us via AIM anytime. Maybe what we can do is come up with some sort of chatting situation so that you can hear what's happening a little bit better. And
figure out how to Skype yourself into us. Amitai.
Maybe Skype or some sort of
Google Talk.
Like Yahoo Instant Messenger has a voice chat.
Telephone, perhaps.
Or maybe just the tele. I wonder if I can. You know, I want to know how I can like pipe in actual phone audio.
Well, do you want to tie up your phone line for an hour?
I don't care.
Well, then we probably could put a microphone on it and patch it in.
Yeah. Why? Or like speakerphone? Like, well, how is he going to hear us?
We'd have to patch the output of the soundboard back into the phone line.
Yeah, if anybody out there is listening and knows how to pull this off, why don't you let us know? Although I think if I got a modem that supported, you know, speakerphone capability, wouldn't that work?
Seems like it should.
Okay.
Not sure what the quality would be.
All right, I'll tell you what, Amitai, we're going to give you a chance for some last words, and then we're going to end the show. So we're going to sit here quietly for 45 to 60 seconds, and we're going to wait for your last words, starting now.
I'm going to work on the show notes.
You work on the show notes. I'm going to see if I forgot anything real quick here.
You didn't forget anything.
Did I not forget anything?
If you forgot anything, I would remember.
You know, the state of Tennessee is going to try
shaped
to
like a penis.
Tax software It kind of is. No, it's shaped like a parallelogram. Tennessee is trying to tax business software as property. I didn't even think software was property.
You know, a flash intro to Capitalist Cleveland?
I made it myself.
Hey, can you guys hear this?
Let me check the headphones. It sounds pretty bad. But anyway.
That's the flash intro to Capitalist Cleveland.
You can skip it. There's a little skip intro button.
I knew a guy named Skip Intro.
It's a terrible name.
Joey Jojo Jr. Shabby.
Okay, here we go. His last words are, I hope that you were whistling the Jeopardy theme. Nice to be back more interactively next time. Good night! I agree with you. Good night. Have a very happy new year. I hope everyone had a happy holiday. Have a happy new year. If you're going to drink heavily, just try not to do it too far from your house so it's a short drive. Oh, and just so you know, Amitai loved the skip intro joke.
Wow, somebody did?
Yeah. All right,
I've been
fabulous.
Using that for years.
Thanks very much, and we will see you hopefully next week or maybe in a couple of weeks. I don't know what everybody's schedules look like, but that is going to do it for now. Amitai, thanks for joining us. Shane, I hope you were listening, and we will see you very soon.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.